On today's show, Jabari Smith Jr.'s draft profile. We take a look at the traits that make him such an enticing draft prospect. We'll take a look at his strengths, his weaknesses, his possible fit with the Houston Rockets, his projected draft range, and how the Houston Rockets may still be able to get him at pick number three or potentially trading up, plus a visual Easter egg for all of our YouTube viewers. All that and more coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and credentialed media member. Also, I'm the host of Locked On NBA Mondays, host of the State of the Rockets podcast, and the founder of ClutchCityControlRoom.com. You should follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin. The show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day, free and available on all platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google, and check us out on YouTube. Go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. The comments help out a ton. For everybody that's been commenting, thank you so much. I do sincerely appreciate it. Now, for today's episode, we are diving into Jabari Smith Jr., his NBA draft profile as it relates to the Houston Rockets, because we still don't know how this draft is going to play out. Even though the Rockets are at pick number three, there's still a very solid chance that the Orlando Magic potentially surprise some teams, go a different direction with the number one overall pick, and leave one of Jabari or Chet on the board for the Rockets all the way down at number three. So we're going to navigate for these first draft profiles. We're going to start at the top of the draft, and then we'll dive into some of the guys lower that are going to be around that potential later lottery pick 17 range. So let's start today's off with Jabari Smith, a very interesting prospect, the guy that's been number one on my board for a very, very long time. Incredibly talented prospect out of Auburn. Go through his physicals. We'll go through his traits. We'll go through some comps. We're going to get through, you know, all the nitty gritty, how he would fit in with this Houston Rockets team. So let's just start with the basics here, right? He's 6'10", 7'1" wingspan, about 220 pounds, great size. What makes him stand out as a prospect, it can be boiled down to basically two to three traits. It's his perimeter shooting, it's his on-ball defense, and it's his tenacious hustle. Like, this is a guy that is, you know, gets it done in a variety of ways, both offensively, again, hyper elite shooter, great on-ball defender, you know, has flashed all NBA defensive team like potential. And then just, he's a hustler, right? He goes out there and he works hard every single possession. I've likened Jabari Smith Jr. quite frequently to one of either like Chris Middleton or Klay Thompson, but I think, you know, there needs to be some disclaimers thrown in there, like Chris Middleton with less of a handle, or like Klay Thompson with less like finishing inside at the rim. So, you know, some qualifiers to throw on those names. Some of the other comps that have been thrown around for Jabari Smith Jr., basically, like, I've seen Rashard Lewis as a comp, although a better defending version of Rashard Lewis. So maybe like a two-way version of Rashard Lewis, a guy that I wanted on the Rockets for a long time, right next to Yao Ming, because that would have been, we saw Rashard Lewis play next to Dwight Howard and, you know, at the four spot in the East. And I wanted that for Yao Ming, you know, back in Yao's heyday, but I digress. A different version, another one, taller Harrison Barnes. And to me, that's a bit of a lower floor for Jabari as far as a potential comp. And then another one here that I've seen thrown around a little bit is Michael Porter Jr., but I'd say MPJ without like the fluidity, because I think MPJ is a bit more fluid than Jabari is at this current stage in his game. And so as far as some of these comps go, right, you've got some of the really like high up there comps where, you know, if it's best case scenario, right, if Jabari turns into a Klay Thompson or Chris Middleton, you're in love with that player. That's an incredibly talented player. If he's, you know, closer to the floor of like, again, a Harrison Barnes or a Rashard Lewis type, still, you know, solid player, but a bit more of a disappointing outcome especially if you're taking him at number one overall, or well, number three overall in the NBA draft. And the pitch for Jabari, right? The one sentence elevator pitch here is he is a hard worker with an unblockable jump shot and elite versatility on defense, making him a safe pick who still possesses star upside. And I think that's been the biggest thing when it comes to Jabari, and kind of what's been so much of the debate amongst Rockets fans is, how much do you weigh the potential of star upside versus the safety of you know, a player being able to translate at the next level, how high his, you know, potential floor is versus the chance that he just doesn't pan out at all. And so that's where Jabari is, you know, a bit, you know, his range between ceiling and floor is probably a bit lower between compared to guys like Chet or like Paolo or even potentially like Jaden Ivey. Because Jabari has such a high floor that you kind of expect, you're like, you know what, he's going to translate no matter what, but then the ceiling maybe isn't quite as high as some of those other guys. I still think he's got an incredibly high ceiling given all the skills that he has at his disposal. I do want to get into, again, some of the, you know, the pros and cons of what he brings to the table as a player. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar, because when it comes to protein bars, you've got to check out Built Bar. They're the number one protein bar on the market. They've got so many incredible flavors to choose from. You got raspberry, strawberry, mint brownie, salted caramel, cookies and cream. You really can't go wrong with a single bar on their menu. Every single bar is low cal, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Amazing if you're on a keto diet. Amazing if you're trying to cut back a little bit, lose a little bit of weight. You can check them out. Just go to built.com, use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your very next order of the best tasting protein bars on the market. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you making LOR your first listen each and every single day. Now, very quickly, we have an important favor to ask of you, our listener. We put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcasts even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and don't like about Locked On Podcasts. Go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey. Right now to get started. It won't take very long, and everyone that completes the survey can qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. To take our audience survey, go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey. We appreciate your help and your feedback. So let's continue on here talking about Jabari Smith Jr. And at this point in the game, right, his projected draft range, right, is all the pundits, all the draft experts have him going one or two, more than likely. But we just did find out that John Gavoni of ESPN was reporting that Orlando still plans to bring in all three of the big man prospects from Jabari, Chet, and Paolo Banchero, and still work out all of them and then select the best one. So, you know, even though right now a lot of the signs are pointing towards the Rockets drafting, you know, or walking with Paolo Banchero at three, or at least making the selection at number three with Jabari Smith and Chet Holmgren off the board, there's still a possibility there that Orlando surprises everybody. There's still a possibility that the Rockets trade up or move away from pick number three in some capacity, which is why we're kind of exploring all the different options here at the top of the draft. So let's continue on here with Jabari, because again, he is, to me, has been the number one prospect on my board, you know, bar none, for a long time. And we're going to get into some of the specifics about the strengths of his game that really make him stand out as a prospect. And I think the very first thing you have to lean into, right, as we highlighted his skill set earlier, is the shooting. Like, this guy is a hyper elite shooter, can get it done from anywhere on the floor, right? His jump shot is pure. It is, you know, basically an unguardable jump shot because he has that size. He's got a high release point, great form, great consistency with it. It reminds me a lot of, like, when you're watching like KD, right, like get these jumpers off, or if you would watch like if we're going to dig a little bit further back, right, like watching Dirk get his jumpers off, because when you have that level of size, shooting touch, and that high release point on your shooting stroke, you're never going to get blocked, right? It's basically an unguardable jump shot because he's 6'10", so he's already shooting over people. He's got the high release point on top of that. So this is a guy that can shoot from anywhere on the floor. Now, within the Auburn offense, he didn't have the best like guard play to like set him up for success on the floor. So at times we did kind of see Jabari, you know, having to put together, you know, something out of nothing, or just being put in bad spots by the, you know, the guards running the Auburn offense. And we didn't really get to see, I think, what'll be the best version of Jabari Smith Jr. And despite that, he still put up absurd numbers. And I mean, he averaged 17.1 points per game, shot almost 44% from behind the arc on about 163-point attempts, just under 59% true shooting, a little under 7 rebounds a game, had 1 block per game, 1 steal per game. Like, the stats are apparent, right? They're you know, impressive. They jump off the page. And again, this isn't like, he's not, 38, 39% three-point shooter. This guy's like drilling threes left and right. Like, this is what he's going to do at an NBA level. He's going to win a three-point competition at some point. He's going to be a lights-out, knockdown three-point shooter that allows him to, again, get, you know, open up the space for an NBA offense, open up the floor for his teammates. And the another area that, again, I don't think Auburn utilized him well enough in was the fact that they didn't utilize him as like an off-ball presence, right? They didn't run him off screens. They didn't get him, you know, many, I guess, easy opportunities to leverage his shooting gravity into scoring opportunities, either for himself or for his teammates. And that's kind of one of the areas that I do think at the NBA level, he's going to be able to translate that shooting gravity into opportunities for other players, right? We see, again, I hate to have to point to this, but we see like Steph Curry do that quite often, right? As the greatest shooter of all time, he leverages his scoring and shooting gravity into opportunities for his teammates. And I do think that Jabari Smith Jr. is going to have that same level of capability as a decoy offensively, or as somebody that demands so much attention offensively that you are going to wind up, you know, sending, you know, the wrong rotation help defender over to him, whatever. And all he has to be able to do is make that quick read, make that skip pass to the next man, and keep the defense scrambling. And it's going to like pay dividends for the offense. So at this point, I would say that in addition to his shooting, you have to look at him from a defensive perspective, because I will say, and we'll get into some of the, you know, again, some of the cons about his game is the fact that he doesn't necessarily have the best handle. So I want to talk about that for sure, but I want to focus on still the positives right now and what makes him really, again, stand out as such an enticing prospect. And you get to the defensive side of things with Jabari Smith. He sets an absolute tone on defense. He brings consistent energy. He moves well on the defensive side of the floor. He constantly is fighting through screens. He rotates well. He's got just good defensive instincts. And again, you look at the physical tools that he has, the frame that he has, 6'10", 220, good wingspan, 7'1". Like, he is, has all the tools to be an all NBA caliber defender pretty much year in, year out. And he's got, I think, the he's got the intangibles to also do it as well, because he's already shown an ability at the college level to basically guard like 1 through 5 to, you know, it's that rare mix of length, versatility, the mindset that he has, the physical tools, all those different things that allow him to be such a unique defensive presence on that side of the floor. His on-ball defense is really, really, really impressive. I think, again, you know, one of the areas in the you know, cons area is maybe the off-ball defense at times, not the best. He's not like a, you know, a weak side shot blocker by any stretch of the imagination. But I think if you're talking about a guy that, again, can score from anywhere on the floor, can shoot it from anywhere on the floor, I should say, can't score from anywhere on the floor quite just yet, but can shoot it from anywhere on the floor, can, you know, is basically has an unguardable jump shot, can also space the floor for your offense, is going to generate, you know, is going to space things out for other players, you know, on the team, as well as be an impactful defensive presence, somebody that's going to change the identity of a team on defense, that can check the best or second best player on an opposing team and can guard effectively, basically positions 1 through 5 almost. That type of player is a essentially a super 3-and-D wing, right? With legitimate upside star potential, given, you know, all he needs to do to kind of iron out the couple kinks in his game are, you know, work on his handle, work on his inside finishing ability, both of which are things that I think will come easier to him at the NBA level than they did at the college level, given how an NBA team can potentially utilize him to make the most out of his skill set, to make the most out of his offensive abilities. So with that, I do want to transition into some of the negatives to his game. Talked about the ball handling. I want to talk about the off-ball defense, a couple other areas in there, the lack of playmaking a little bit. Some of those areas we're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Bet Online, because Bet Online continues to be the number one source for all of your sports betting needs and info. Find the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's baseball playoffs, Major League Baseball season, scores, news, all that stuff. You can also find the next season's NFL futures. I mean, BetOnline has you covered for everything. They are your consistent source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting, playoffs, esports, the NBA draft, and more. And speaking of the NBA draft, you can go to BetOnline right now to find out the odds for who is going to be the number one overall pick in this year's NBA draft. Right now, it is the guy that we're talking about, the man of the hour, Jabari Smith Jr., who is still a minus 250 favorite to be the number one overall selection in this year's NBA draft. You got Chet Holmgren clocking in at plus 190, and then Paolo Banchero, a distant third at plus 900. So for all of that and more, head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action available to you. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you making LOR your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast. Host Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Lee Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, Big Board. That's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, final segment here. For this episode, we're going to talk about some of the weaknesses in Jabari Smith's game. We'll also talk about his possible fit with the Houston Rockets, how he would, you know, kind of just slot into this Houston Rockets team. And so let's go into, again, I mentioned it already, but the lack of a handle is legitimately concerning. He isn't a guy who's flashed, you know, a ton of ability to create his own shots, in the sense of giving him the rock at like the top of the key or on the perimeter and just saying, all right, go get yours, right? Like, go get us a bucket. He's done it a little bit, hasn't done it a ton, but he also wasn't asked to do it a ton at Auburn and wasn't also put into positions to be able to do it a ton with the rest of the players on that roster. I will say that Jabari does have a really decent turnaround, like post, like fadeaway that he's kind of developed as like a go-to kind of move. He's shown an ability to kind of have that like 1-2 dribble pull up where he can rise up over a defender and shoot over the top of them, but he doesn't have a handling back. Like, he doesn't have like counters and crossovers and spins and twists and turns. Like, he doesn't have any of that yet. And so that is a bit concerning, right? Because when you want to, when you look at, you know, a guy that you want to potentially take at the top of an NBA draft, you know, with a top pick, you want a guy that can be the go-to guy. You want a guy that can create his own shot. But I will say that the blend of skills that he has, the size, the shooting touch, the high release point, all of that, he doesn't necessarily need a Kyrie Irving-esque dribble to suddenly become an effective offensive player. And I think a good comparison to throw out here for somebody who had maybe not the flashiest dribble or a distinct lack of a dribble like coming into the NBA would be Kawhi Leonard. Like, I remember early Kawhi Leonard did not have, and still to this day doesn't have, like the flashiest of dribble packages, like, but he gets it done, gets to his spots, elevates, and it's game over. And so I think Jabari could aspire to be like that with a potential dribble package. He doesn't have to have, you know, the hezzies and the crossovers and all this crazy stuff. He just needs to be able to effectively get to the spot on the floor that he wants to get to and then elevate and shoot. And that's it, right? Because he's got the size advantage. He's got the shooting touch. So all he has to do is be able to get to his spots. He doesn't need to really outwork his opponent the same way a guy who is, you know, 6'6" or 6'2" has to actually work to get past his defender to create an opening, to create a seam in the defense. Now, past the ball handling, there is the concern about the inside finishing. Again, this kind of stems from the way that he was utilized at Auburn, but also it stems from the fact that he can't exactly get inside himself because he can't create that opportunity because he's not that great of, he just doesn't have a driving presence yet, right? So I do think that at the NBA level, teams are going to utilize him as kind of a decoy and leverage his shooting, his spacing, his shooting gravity to create opportunities, not only for his teammates, for himself on the perimeter, but to also have him do things like have little backdoor cuts, right? Have little wrinkles in an offense to where as defenses are overplaying the shooter, overplaying him on the perimeter, he'll be able to get some easy opportunities at the rim just based off the fact that he's such an elite shooter on the perimeter. Exactly the same kind of thing that we saw happen with Garrison Matthews as the season went on for the Houston Rockets. Teams started overplaying Garrison Matthews at the three-point line, and then Garrison Matthews started getting easier opportunities inside at the rim, where he started getting opportunities where he could backdoor cut, the defense would rotate over, and then he would dump the ball, you know, kick it out to the next corner or dump it to the to whoever was there in the dunker spot. Like these different wrinkles and opportunities within an offense that we didn't, again, get to see a lot of with Jabari Smith at Auburn because they just didn't utilize him that way. I think an NBA team is going to have much more success leveraging his offensive skill set into easy offensive opportunities. That said, he has the size, 6'10", that you want to see him be able to finish in and around the rim, and that is a legitimate concern. Just the fact that he doesn't show a whole lot of like lift or burst around the rim, like, you know, he doesn't have the insane finishing chops that you would really like to have out of a player like that. If he can develop that and get to a place where he's even like relatively like NBA level, like at the rim, like a, you know, average value, whatever, he's going to be basically unstoppable on offense because he's already got the shooting touch from everywhere else on the floor. He just has to be able to get it done right there at the rim. Now we go to the other, you know, the other side of the basketball on the defensive end. He doesn't give you rim protection. You know, at 6'10", you know, effectively you're going to probably, if you're an NBA team and if you're the Houston Rockets, you would effectively probably slot him in at the three or potentially the four slot on your team. And if you're running him at the four, especially, You maybe want a little bit more interior presence than what you're going to get out of him. But I think that it's also very, very much points to what his actual skill set is as a defender, which is he's a perimeter defender. He's a guy that you're going to stick on, the best wing player on the opposing team. And he's going to make that player's life hell because he's got the length. He's 6'10". He's going to contest shots well. He's going to stick with that player. He's going to fight hard around screens, all of that, right? That said, interior defense doesn't quite have like the bulk, the size to really go against some of the bigger players yet. Again, only 220 pounds. If you match him up with like another legitimate like big at the four spot, right? If you go against any one of those teams that runs like a legitimate double big setup, like maybe, I don't know, the Memphis Grizzlies, right? With Steven Adams and, you know, Triple J at the four spot, right? That's somebody who might be able to like, I don't know, take advantage a little bit of Jabari down low on the interior. If he gets switched onto a legitimate big, you know, that could cause trouble, problems, not for lack of trying, just from, you know, the limitations that he has physically at this point. But it's also, he just doesn't have like the rim protection presence, right? He's not like a crazy, like weak side shot blocker. Good overall defensive awareness, but at the same time, like he's not going to be somebody who's going to be a complete like off ball defensive presence the same way that, again, like a Chet Holmgren would be, where he's just going to be a defensive vacuum wherever you put him on the floor, be it on ball, off ball, all that good stuff. So I do want to talk about the fit that Jabari would bring to this potential Rockets team, having gone through, you know, strengths, weaknesses, what makes him stand out, all of that. And, you know, I do think that as far as the weaknesses here are concerned, before I transition into the final point here, is how he would look on the Rockets. You know, the handle is concerning, but at the same time, if you go watch the film on Jabari, it's not like the handle's non-existent. And I think that's what's been, you know, blown out of proportion for a lot of people who are against Jabari Smith or just don't think he has the chops to be the number one overall selection, is the lack of handle is kind of overblown. Just because he doesn't have like, you know, the, you know, elite dribble nine package or whatever from 2K doesn't mean he doesn't have a handle, can't put the ball on the floor, right? I've likened it to, like, look, like when, like back when Trevor Ariza was a Houston Rocket, like Trevor Ariza didn't have a handle. Like that was rough to watch. Like seeing Trevor Ariza ever try to drive the ball in from like the corners or whatever, and then try to finish at the rim, it was never pretty. It was pretty ugly. And so Jabari's not like that, right? He's got like a better handle, a better baseline handle than that. And I know that's like setting the bar pretty low, but I think the expectation of what he needs to add to his handle to make it lethal enough to get him to his spots is not a whole ton because he has the physical gifts around that. Again, if Jabari was only 6'7 or 6'8 and had this exact same skill set, this exact same handle, then yeah, you'd be a bit more concerned, because then suddenly that jump shot isn't like unguardable. That jump shot is suddenly like getting swatted left and right unless he's able to get to his spot quickly and beat his man off the dribble and then pull up effectively from wherever he's trying to get to on the floor. Right now, doesn't quite matter because he's towering over guys at 6'10", and a majority of the wing defenders who are going to have to check Jabari at the NBA level aren't going to be able to contest his jumper at all. There's a very select handful of players that are actually going to be able to probably stick with him on defense and contest his shots like effectively. And that handful of players, right, he's only going to see them a handful of times every season. So even then, a decently like, replacement level NBA dribble will get him to the places that he needs to be as an offensive player. And then anything past that is just gravy on top. And that's how you start looking at Jabari Smith as going from, okay, really solid, like 3-and-D upside star potential, cool, to like, oh, this guy's going to be a legitimate superstar, because if he gets a handle, it's game over, right? If and you know, if he gets even like a decent handle, it's game over. If he gets the ability, if he starts being able to finish inside because he gets a handle, it's game over. Like, that's why this guy is being mocked as like the consensus number one guy in this draft. Now, his fit with the Rockets. I mean, he gives the Rockets like all these different skill sets that the Rockets desperately need, right? Shooting, defense, hustle, size. Like, when it comes to the NBA draft, it should be best player available. It shouldn't have anything to do with fit, but we are looking at what the fit would look like if he were here in Houston. And if the Rockets were able to snatch him up with the third overall pick, or if they were able to trade up in some capacity to take him at one or two, I mean, it's a slam dunk pick, I think, because Jabari's a guy that you can slot in at the three or at the four. There's no legitimate fit concerns anywhere, because he is a guy that is so easy to build around. I think that, you know, that's been one of the main conversations that Rockets fans have been having is, oh, if they take Paolo Banchero, what happens with Paolo and Şengün, and where does Christian Wood go and all this? If you draft Jabari, you suddenly don't deal with any of those questions, right? If the Rockets were to take Jabari, they could run out a lineup of KPJ, Jalen Green, Jabari Smith Jr., Christian Wood, and Alperen Şengün. You're not even forced to trade Christian Wood if you don't want to at that point, because Jabari can slot in at the three or at the four. You just throw him on the wing and call it a day. You put him up at the four and call it a day. Even situationally, down the line, you could play him at the five and just run like a small ball five out lineup. And he's a decent enough defender that he'll be able to figure it out. So there's a lot of versatility and flexibility that you have with how you would be able to build a roster around Jabari Smith Jr. And again, the skills that he brings to the table are skills that every single NBA team needs at every single position these days, right? The shooting, the hyper elite shooting is perfect, especially when you think about him playing alongside guys like Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün, guys that would be able to think of all the opportunities that were created this year for this Rockets team. All the wide open three-point shots, all the offensive opportunities generated by those three names in particular. And think about Jabari Smith being on the receiving end of so many of those passes from Jalen Green, from Alperen Şengün, from Kevin Porter Jr. And then not only that, think about the issues that this team faced with the fact that they had such a lack of spacing at times this season because they didn't have shooters on the floor. Think about how a shooter like Jabari Smith Jr. would open up the floor for driving lanes for KPJ and Jalen Green, would open up the floor to allow Alperen Şengün to operate down low one-on-one and get to the free throw line almost at will. Or if a team did elect to send a double team down to him, think about Alperen Şengün's vision and how easily he'll make the right read to kick the ball out to the next open man. And then once the defense is scrambling, even if the kickout doesn't go straight to Jabari Smith Jr., then it goes to, all right, bam, kick out goes to Christian Wood in the corner. Bam, man rotates over. Bam, next pass to Jalen Green. Bam, next pass to Jabari at the top of the key. Bam, wide open three-pointer. Like, the possibilities are truly endless for what this would potentially look like for the Houston Rockets, which is why, again, Jabari Smith is being mocked the number one overall selection, because there's a very small few steps that he needs to take in his game to elevate him to the point where he is, borderline super going to be a superstar type talent. And again, I've been championing Jabari Smith for a while now, because I do think he's going to be the guy that we look back on this draft and we think, yo, all right, he was the guy. And at this point, all signs are pointing towards the Orlando Magic taking him at number one, but maybe when they bring in Jabari and Chet and Paolo for their workouts, there's that possibility that it changes their mind, that they decide to go a different direction. Maybe they take Chet, maybe they reach and they take Paolo at number one. And this gives the Rockets an opportunity to walk away with one of those guys at number three, if that were to happen. So with that, that's going to do it for our Jabari Smith breakdown, his strengths, his weaknesses, the traits that make him such a unique draft prospect, his potential fit with the Houston Rockets, all of that right here in this episode ahead of the NBA draft. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also, check us out on YouTube. Go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. How do you feel about Jabari Smith Jr. as a prospect? How do you feel about the chances that he may wind up a Houston Rocket? Is it a complete pipe dream at this point? Are you just, nope, it's Paolo Banchero or bust at this point? Let me know how you feel about this episode, about everything that we discussed in the comments. I do read each and every one of those every single day. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.